Spirit be upon my lips. Amen. Please be seated. This is powerful scripture we heard today. First, the story of Moses and his encounter with God. The effect on Moses was so strong that those who knew him could not even look at his face. The glory of God was all over him, and no one could stand it. No one could stand that presence, and Moses had to put a veil down over his face that he could even be among them. And then we hear Peter reflecting on his encounter with the glory of God and seeing that in Jesus Christ. And then finally we hear that actual story from the Gospel of the Transfiguration on the mountain. This kind of power of God, which we have read about and which we have heard testified to, is what God intends for the worship of all Christians. This is what He intends for us in our churches. But it's not like that. I read just 2 days ago from a book by Dennis Bennett called 9 o'clock in the Morning. How many here have read this book, 9 o'clock in the Morning? 2, 3. This is a book written some 20 or more years ago by an Episcopal priest who had an experience of God. And this is from 9 o'clock in the Morning. Dennis Bennett says, "Their religion was a mild sedative to make their lives more palatable, rather than an experience that would drastically change them. Suppose there was something more, a great deal more, to this whole business of Christianity, and we were missing it." This is Dennis Bennett. Have you ever seen a person who takes a mild sedative every day? Whether because of anxiety or crisis that's happened in their life, that person could best be described as lukewarm. They don't get too upset about things and they don't get too excited about things. They're lukewarm. And this is what many of us are as Christians. We're lukewarm. You've heard that expression before, lukewarm Christians. But I'd never before this passage that I read equated it with a mild sedative effect. And yet that's what it is. So many of us take our religion and our faith and our visit to church as our weekly mild sedative. Yet when you read today's scripture of the Transfiguration or of Peter's reflecting on it or of the light on Moses' face, or virtually any other scripture in Bible for that matter, you quickly become aware that there is a great deal more to this whole business of Christianity than most people seem to experience today. For many of us, religion is indeed a mild sedative, something we take once a week or less, and in greater doses in times of crisis, but it is not something that drastically changes our lives. Did that drastic kind of change stop after the time of the apostles? Are we basically condemned to simply read about the movement of God among those people, to long perhaps for the thrill of the Spirit of God in an earlier age? This is not God's intention for us. Rather, it is for the Transfiguration to become real for us in our everyday lives. We are invited up on that mountain along with Peter, with John, and with James. We are to be witnesses to Moses and Elijah and Jesus, and to witness the descent of the cloud of glory. And we don't have to just hear rumors or whispers that these people once existed. We can read their own words. We can hear Moses himself speak to us as he delivers the Ten Commandments. You heard that this morning when we started. And we can hear Moses' own words as he leads the Israelites out of bondage. This is not mere tale-telling. This is the story for each of us in each of our own lives today. And we can hear Elijah speak as well, a great prophet who calls the people back to worship the one true God and not idols. And each of the other prophets who spoke not just to Israel but to us in real words for us today. And if we think their words were just for an ancient culture, we have badly misjudged God's ability to speak to us today in His Word. How dare we misjudge God so badly? The words in the Word in the Bible are timeless. They shine across the centuries and they are not dimmed one bit by the distance in time. They are real and they are true and they are alive today. We fool only ourselves if we cannot see that light or if we simply don't bother to seek it out. How many of us treat the Bible as something just to hear read on Sunday morning? Do you need the lights in your house for just a few minutes once a week? The Word of God can light up your life, but you've got to throw the switch. You have to crack the book open so the light can come out. And Jesus is there as well. And His words are the words of the very Son of God. Would we be among those who said in His time, "No, sorry, I'm too busy," when someone invited them to come and see Jesus and hear His words and see the miracles? We do that when we don't read His words. But when we do read them, we come into His presence in a very miraculous way. There is a miracle of the Spirit of God that connects us to Jesus Himself when we read His words and we attend to them in our hearts. And finally, what about the Spirit of God and the power and the healing and the joy of worship that was present for those early disciples and in the early church? Miracles were commonplace. Healings happened daily. The experience of the presence of God in the Holy Spirit was common. The Spirit's falling was how the disciples recognized that others had been saved. Was that something they only needed then, and we don't need today? We don't need now? We need it badly, and we should seek it. Worship is not intended, was never intended, to be mere recitation of formulas and creeds, mere reading of words or polite and restrained prayers. The apostles and the early church believed passionately. They worshiped passionately. They prayed passionately. Not in some faked, pumped-up emotionalism, but in the joy of knowing God. They could talk to Him. And He responded. He acted. Signs and wonders followed. It was a thrill. Are we to dismiss those times and those signs and wonders as simply the gullibility of an earlier and less sophisticated age? That's what's done in many seminaries today. And in so many churches, and by so many modern theologians and modern Christians, we have made the rational mind into God, and we have appointed it final arbiter of all that has gone before and all that occurs now. This is, of course, idolatry. We have made our intellect into an idol, and we treat it like God. It is no wonder, when we worship such an idol, that God does not send His Holy Spirit to us, and the churches die. But this is not what God intends for us. Well, we're allowed to use our rational mind without God objecting. After all, He created it. But we are not to make one of His creations into God. Only God is God. And He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. If He came in power to the early church, He can and He will come in power to us. The power of God on that mountaintop and the transfiguration the disciples witnessed was the inbreaking of the kingdom of heaven on earth. Just before this event, Jesus had said, "But truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." And they did on that mountain. They got a glimpse of who Jesus really is, and they saw Him transfigured. That transfiguration continues, but in our lives and in our life as a church, it has begun here. You have seen it if you have been here. When the Holy Spirit broke through in power, if we are willing, this will continue to happen until we are the church God intends and where He is ever present in power and glory. Or we can run from Him. We can deny Him. We can retreat to a more ordered and rational and intellectual faith and wonder why we feel so dry and so thirsty, so unsatisfied. There is a great river of life in fullness. In Revelation 22, God's word says, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb." We can experience this. Welcome it. Let it wash over us and heal us and fill us up with joy in the Spirit and quench our thirst forever. Or we can stay dry, thirsty, unsatisfied, and stuck right where we've been, getting a mild sedative each week to get us through a few more days. Which will it be for you? The sedative or the power of God making drastic and holy changes in your life? Which will it be? The sedative or the power of God?